Hi, everyone. It's Candace with Autism One Radio. The date is October 1st of 2019, and my guest today is Michelle Ford. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi there, Candace. Good morning.
So Michelle is with VIALE, Vaccine Injury Awareness League, and Michelle has been extremely busy. So let's talk about the couple of events you've done and who platformed them for you. What's been going on?
Oh, gosh, I feel like there's so much going on, but to speak to your question specifically, there is a very committed group of patriots here in Southern California that I recently had the pleasure of being introduced to because of Summer Boger, who's an activist and a mom down in San Diego.
She's also interviewed yesterday, and her video is up today.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
Yes. Eagle Forum.
So, Summer is the president of the San Diego chapter of the Eagle Forum, and she invited me to be a guest speaker last week on Tuesday night. Another chapter president, Gloria, I don't know her last name, but Gloria found out that we were going to be, touching on the vaccine issue on that Tuesday night. So she invited me to come and speak, and Summer to go speak at her event on Sunday night. And it was, both speaking opportunities were incredible. I mean, the first one, it was in a little bit of a smaller venue, but there were about 80 people approximately. And it was, people had to stand on the sides and in the back because there weren't enough seats. And it was such a huge turnout, concerned parents, there were doctors, there were teachers, there were attorneys.
So we're singing outside of our choir, right? We're reaching people that aren't part of our...
Absolutely. Our movement is growing, and I know that Senator Pan would love to blame, funding, like we're all a bunch of rich people or something, and that we're being funded by, the George Soroses of the world or the Koch brothers of the world, but it's not that way. We are passionate parents who have been eyewitnesses to vaccine-related side effects and vaccine injuries, and we are totally in it. We're in it. We can't get out of it. And as a result of us being eyewitnesses to this tragedy, we have so much passion and so much truth on our side that it's just making sense for people. It's actually, they're starting to say, wait a minute, allergies are vaccine side effects? Who would have thunk it, right? And it's an interesting situation that we're finding ourselves in because people are starting to connect the dots like never before. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So the Sunday night event was also very well attended. I don't know the number of people. It was in a church. But, somewhere between 80 and 100 were there. And these are, that particular group, I would definitely say is conservative and many Republicans, probably a lot of libertarians as well. But certainly people that are committed to the America that was promised to us by our forefathers.
Family, God, country.
That's exactly right. And individual.
Pro-liberty.
Family, God, country, liberty, freedom. Exactly. And so all of the people that I met there that night were very awake to the deterioration of America from the inside out, And
so this was a vaccine education summit that they put together. So it was Freedom Phoenix and another event by the Eagle Forum. Is that right?
Oh, okay, yeah. So, I forgot to talk about Saturday's event was in Phoenix. That was called the Freedom Phoenix event. They had a vaccine education summit Saturday in Phoenix, and I drove out there with Dana Gorman, who's on the board, and so am I, for the California Health Coalition Advocacy. And we drove out there to attend that incredible event. And that was another event that was packed. The room was filled with a bunch of, mostly libertarians are part of that group. But not only was it packed, but mostly everybody in the room was new to this conversation, new to this movement.
That's awesome.
It was awesome. And not only that, but at that Freedom's Phoenix event, there were elected officials that are in office. And they were there to hear the truth about what really is happening with these vaccines. And let me tell you, you can't listen to Del Bigtree, Jonathan Lockwood, Dr. Judy, James Linesweiler, Wayne Rohde, Dr. Alan Palmer, Diane Douglas, Diane was the superintendent of public instruction for the entire state of Arizona from 2015 until 2018. And she has great influence and great connections in Arizona because of that role that she had.
And she's on our side?
She's on our side, absolutely. She never was on the vaccine issue. She was all about education. But over her years of being in education, she has seen a slow decline of the health and vitality of our children.
A deteriorating IQ point of, I believe Robert Kennedy Jr. told us it was 7 points per generation we're losing IQ points.
Oh, my goodness.
Is that correct? Were you at his talk at Autism One?
I was, and for some reason that particular statistic doesn't stand out in my mind, but if that's what he said, then I know that it's right. He does very deep research, and he's obviously a brilliant individual. So if that's what he said, then that's what it is.
Yeah, so I just got... I'm filled by my dogs right now. They broke through the door. So I'm gonna, but that's okay. But so one of the organizers or somebody that was at that meeting took a picture of all the speakers and the leaders from that meeting, and it was censored on Facebook.
Yes. So
a photo?
A photo. So Irene Peasy on Facebook, who was Freedom Phoenix is a libertarian group. They invited Irene Peasy and local activists to organize the Vaccine Education Summit for their meeting. It was an all-day meeting. So Irene Peasy, you know, she took a bunch of pictures, and she had all of the speakers assemble up at the front by the podium so that there could be a group photo of all the speakers that were there, and she's in the picture along with one of her co-organizers, Erlene, and I think her last name is Medina. But anyway, Irene posted many, many pictures from the Vaccine Education Summit, including that group photo of all the speakers. And would you believe that group photo was censored by the Facebook police? And I thought, how could they censor a photo? Can they see who's in the picture or something? I mean, Irene tagged everybody, you know, that, I don't know how many people she tagged, 17 or 18 people, but she tagged the post with all of those people and included a whole host of pictures. So why was that one picture blocked by Facebook?
Well, they have facial ID now, so I woke up the other morning and my camera was snapping photos.
No way.
Yeah, on its own. It took 3 photos. I put tape over my camera.
That's
yeah, that
crazy.
Was Saturday morning, bright and early.
You think it can't get any weirder? Like,
well, it does get weirder, and we're going to get right into it. So we have CANS Resolution 58,
mm-hmm.
which is a resolution is presented before a bill is presented. And
yes.
We need to read that bill, and I'm sure you've read it.
but it has to do with adult mandates.
I did read it. It is just a resolution, so it's not a bill, but yeah. Senate Resolution Number 58, authored by Senator Richard Pan. This resolution, essentially, I say it's just a piece of propaganda. It's written like a pharma article, and it essentially fear-mongers adults into, quote-unquote, compliance. This resolution purports that adults are behind on all of their recommended vaccines. Now, as you might be aware, currently, as it is, the adults are not required to be vaccinated. You know, most of us had chickenpox, had measles, had mumps. You know, we had all these situations before the vaccines were considered mandatory or so highly recommended for children. So, you know, we have lifelong immunity. But now what's happening is that first wave of kids that was, in this vaccine paradigm, the ones that weren't allowed to get chickenpox because they had to get the chickenpox shot, for example, they're in adulthood now. And so there's a gigantic wave of adults, young adults, that haven't had their boosters. So, of course, they are susceptible because they never got natural lifelong immunity. And so Senator Pan is essentially saying all of us, because of that chunk of young adults, all of us are behind on our vaccination boosters. So, he wants everyone who's an adult to get annual flu shots. He wants the adults to get a shingles vaccine. Tdap, which is the tetanus, diphtheria, and acellular pertussis. I wouldn't be surprised if the MMR, measles, mumps, rubella, is part of that list.
Pneumonia,
perhaps. Yeah. So, you know, it really won't be long. So for those listeners who might be thinking, oh, this sounds like conspiracy, you know, it'll never happen. There's no way that they can enforce adults to be vaccinated because adults don't go to school anymore. How are they going to, you know, track and monitor and surveil adults?
And for our listeners, tinyurl.com/healthy2020. And that's Dana Gorman talking to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. And we took it straight off the CDC site, which they took it down. But it was tinyurl.com/healthypeople2020.
Wow. Healthy people/healthy people 2020.
Yes. And then Dana and Dr. Tenpenny broke it down and it's healthy 2020. And I'm sure that link is still there and it's still good. But they have had this planned since 2017.
Oh, at least.
And then the CDC was going to work with transportation and they were going to be able to pull people out of the line at the airport, out of the line getting off the freeway, and they can search their real ID. Let's talk about Real ID 2020.
Yeah, so Real ID 2020 is a very interesting program because if you start going down the rabbit hole about the Real ID 2020, it becomes very apparent that the driver's license is going to be the catch-all for adults. So, you know, and it's all the same players that are rolling this thing out, right? So it's the Gates Foundation, and it's the Rockefellers, and it's a whole bunch of other, I would call global elite, some of the world bankers and all of that, right? So it's being pushed by the World Health Organization, because they're essentially saying that without one of these quote-unquote real IDs, that people don't have an identity. And somehow that leads to some sort of a crisis, an identity crisis. And they want to have every single person on the planet to have a real, and I use real with little quotation marks with my fingers, real ID.
And they can access your medical records.
Yeah, and of course, as it rolls out, it doesn't appear that way on the surface. This is an opt-in program. It's not opt-out.
But so you can't get, I've already looked into it. You're not going to be able to get a passport without it.
Now, that's interesting. That's not one that I've heard so far about the passports, because the workaround, because people say to me, Michelle, I won't be able to travel without it. And I say, well, you can still get a regular state ID or state-issued driver's license without the little stamp that says federal compliant or something like that, and then carry your wallet-sized passport.
I don't think we'll be able to cross state lines without it.
Yeah, no, you'll need your passport and you'll need your state-issued identification. But you don't have to opt in for the real ID 2020 at this time. Of course, we've got to keep our eyes closely on that, because I have a feeling enough people are going to be awake enough to decline. They're just not going to do it. So I'm concerned that at some point those that pull the levers on all of us are going to make it, there's going to be sanctions or some sort of fines or penalties, or, you won't be able to drive unless you've got it. So,
or like New York, you won't be able to leave the house. You can't go out into public.
Which is ridiculous. Yeah, our founding fathers, which is one of the, back to the Eagles Forum, our founding fathers recognized that this sort of groupthink could potentially be the demise of our country. And so they empowered individuals, which is why we have a representative republic. California, of course, behaves like a democracy. And I used to think democracy was a great word. Democracy was a representative type government. However, what I've come to realize is that the term democracy is a fancy term for, mob rule. If there's a majority that wants to make something happen, that's how they do it. But when there's majority rule, then the individuals no longer empowered to have their free speech or to have their individual rights. And
so we are a constitutional republic.
We are a representative republic, yes. And our founding documents, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and Declaration of Independence are our protecting documents. Those are the things that protect us from our government. But in a democracy, the opposite, like the democracy is more like a ruler, The democracy, this mind, the group think, empowers the government to oppress the people.
Right, it's a socialism type.
Yeah, eventually democracy turns to socialism, because it becomes the haves versus the have-nots. And next thing you know, of course, there's more have-nots than there are haves. And then the have-nots, because there are more of them, they can vote to strip the rights away of those that have earned something or inherited something. They want, the less fortunate decide that they can vote to remove the rights of those that have acquired, earned, gained, right?
Right.
So when there's more of someone, they can strip anybody's rights away. And that's what we're seeing in the vaccine injury community, because the children with vaccine injuries are far outnumbered by what appears to be children that are not being affected by their vaccines. Now, of course, you and I being of like mind in the area of choice regarding vaccines, and we understand the hazards and the dangers of vaccines, we know that it's really a ticking time bomb for most of these kids. With 54% of our kids being so sick that they need a prescription drug, when those kids reach adulthood, they may have serious health complications and may just not tie it back to the poison that their body...
Yeah, it caused autoimmune disease later down the road. Like, I was talking to a friend, and my girlfriend was in the military, and her girlfriend, they both got their vaccines at the same time in the military, and they both were diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis at the same time.
Oh, no.
So we have to think about how this will affect us down the road with autoimmune disease. It could be 5 years. It could be 2 years. It could be the next day.
Well, absolutely. And if any of your listeners happen to have read Dr. Mary's Monkeys, you know, in the early 60s, Dr. Mary Sherman discovered that the polio vaccine of the time was contaminated with the SV40 virus, which is a simian virus number 40. It was a cancer virus, a very slow-growing cancer virus. And Dr. Sherman predicted before she was found dead that, you know, 40 to 50 years into the future, which essentially is now, that we would, this country would see a cancer epidemic of epic proportion. And that is what we're seeing now, because women experience cancer at a rate of 1 out of every 3 women, and men experience cancer at a rate of 50%. 1 out of every 2 men in the course of their lifetime is expected now at this point to have cancer. And I fear, you know, with the autism numbers being on the trajectory that they are on, you know, years and years ago, it was 1 out of every 10,000 children, and today it's 1 out of 36 children. So I fear that the country has been sort of hypnotized by cancer, that rates like 50% is normal because it's so common. That when autism is 1 out of every 2, there people aren't going to bat an eye. They're used to that. They're really used to these incredibly horrible conditions being so common and frankly popular. They're you know, looking the other way, and instead, you know, they're raising money for marches to find the cure, find the cure, find the cure. Well, we know that part of the cure is to not be exposed to toxic chemicals.
And no, there was a study a couple months ago that they were thinking that autism was genetic mutation. Well, we know where the genetic mutation is coming from. It's coming from the aborted fetal tissue and vaccines, and we haven't even talked about that yet, but that's even more crazy than any of this.
It really is. And it's satanic. I was talking about that at the Eagle Forum talk on Sunday. It really is a horrible situation that they're, you know, the pharmaceutical industry promotes Planned Parenthood because they need all those dead baby body parts to continue to grow the viruses on the fresh flesh of newborn infants and, you know, unborn fetuses, some born, some unborn. And it's a disgusting,
well,
really.
Dr. Judy told me that they grow tumors on these aborted fetal tissues. They grow tumors, and then they inject it.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised because there's so much cancer research, right? So
some people would argue that, I'm sorry, Michelle, I don't mean to. Some people would argue that they are not injecting fetal tissue. Okay, they're growing tumors on the fetal tissue and injecting our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Male and female aborted fetal tissue, which is contributing to the gender confusion. So they are cutting into our DNA. There is genetic mutation. And go on, Michelle. Sorry, I had to throw that in.
No, it's you know, I would love for, you know, an independent body of scientists to do research on that exact topic. Because I do believe that because of natural selection and the way that biology works, I do believe that our divine creator put homosexuality on the planet, partially as a means of, you know, natural population control, right? There are homosexual animals in nature, so I think that it's entirely plausible and, you know, it's reality that there are homosexual individuals. The argument sometimes comes in about whether or not it's a lifestyle choice, which I do believe that that exists as well. But I think that there's always been
the biological
homosexuals in our world, always. And so, but what could possibly go wrong when you're injecting male and female DNA strands as a natural byproduct of doing all of this vaccine manufacturing with the use of aborted fetal cells?
It's a cannibalistic sort of thing.
Absolutely. And, you know, do I believe that it's causing or contributing or somehow associated with gender identity confusion? Absolutely. We are seeing explosive numbers of people that have no idea what their gender is. They're totally confused. Now, when I was growing up, you looked in the mirror, you know, you knew exactly what you were just based on your biology. But nowadays, there's actually full-blown arguments about people who look in the mirror and they do not identify with what they're seeing. And there's no science. You know, the only science we've ever had is that, yeah, if you've got, you know, XX chromosomes, your body is a female body. You are a female. And then if you're an XY, you're a boy. You're a male. And it used to just be two genders. Now, people might have all of that biology, the physical biology going on, but then they don't feel the way that they look. And so there's all of this confusion about who am I, what am I, where am I?
And there are other contributors. There's endocrine disruptors like plastics, and now we have Wi-Fi, and we're not sure where that some people do know exactly what's going on with that. But I want to – now, Jeffrey Epstein, there was a lot going on with Jeffrey Epstein. We know that he was involved with Bill Gates. He was involved with a lot of these elite people. He gave a lot of money to science, and he was into bioengineering, artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
So we are on the precipice of the bionic man. We're there, and I'm sure that we have no idea how far they've come or the possibilities. I'm sure the possibilities, like, we don't even think of in our wildest dreams of what is actually going on right now in this bioengineering and these aborted fetal. They're using, you know, these aborted babies, I'm sure. But you were talking about two-stream media. You know, they're always doing stuff on what's been going on since, you know, the 1930s with these scientists.
Mm-hmm.
But they talked about the Prometheus Project.
Yeah, they sure did. One of these days, I would love to meet Aaron and Melissa. These two do incredible deep dives on research. You know, they research like crazy. They're just trying to find some answers, like most of us. And then they come out with these videos that are mind-blowing. And I watched one earlier today, about a 30-minute video. Oh, goodness, I'm so sorry about my dog. And it's called, the title of the video is called, Have You Ever Heard of the Prometheus Project? And, you know, I watched it having no idea what the Prometheus Project is. And quickly learned that there is a book called The Prometheus Project, written by an author named Gerald Feinberg, And one of the things, I mean, there was so much in that video that was really, really eye-opening. But one of the things in that book that they talked about was, you know, there's a definite plan to change human beings. And part of the strategy is biological engineering, which blew my mind because, you know, I've read many books on how, you know, kids' minds are being altered, and we see it every day with things like autism, ADD, ADHD. Some children are experiencing very severe emotional disturbance and mental issues, right? And of course, all the medical stuff that we're seeing. But our kids' minds are being altered.
Yeah.
And when I saw this, of course, the word biological really jumped out at me because we know that vaccines are biologics. We know that they are manufactured and protected by many laws from safety testing because they are categorized as biological products. And so, anyway, it appears to me, and I'm going to be ordering this book, it appears to me that there, as you know, this plan to alter the state of human being from being a manifestation of our great creator's vision, you know, we are a manifestation, and there's a plan to alter us permanently.
Yeah.
And biologics are the perfect delivery system, to be honest.
And I believe there are also biologics in the geoengineering that they're spraying on us.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's a whole other rabbit hole I need to study on. Yeah.
Let's wrap it up. Let's talk about this Washington, D.C. event, the VI event. What do you know about the VI event, Michelle?
Okay, so I'm proud to report that because there are going to be so many speakers there that are going to be educating the public, Vaccine Injury Awareness League is a state partner in this project. We are supporters and we are promoting this event. The organizer is someone by the name of Hillary Simpson, whom I don't believe I've ever met in person. I've been on a few conference calls with her, but she wants to have, you know, a million people or more on the Washington Mall on November 14th to come and hear these incredible speakers. And the website is thevieevent.com. So if you go to thevieevent.com, you can view all of the incredible speakers that are going to be there. You can view the logistics, you know, which hotels are nearby, et cetera, et cetera. So that website is very valuable. I'm actually going to try to look it up right now so I can go through the line of speakers that they have.
So that's a vaccine injury event. And we know that Vaccine Injury Awareness Month is October. However, this event is November 14th in Washington, D.C.
That's exactly right. People can sign up for their mailing list to get any information, you know, updates, as well as, you know, buy tickets. You can buy swag. You know, they've got T-shirts and the whole thing. So.
And it tells us where we could stay. Are there block rooms available?
There is information available. You know, there's VIP. There's an event package, the tickets, everything's on there. Where it's being held. So, and then they've got a really incredible lineup of speakers. They've got Bobby Kennedy, Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Bob Sears, Mark Blaxel, Del Bigtree, Barbara Lowe Fisher, Sheila Lewis Ely, James Lyons Weiler. Dr. Mary Holland, Hillary Simpson, and there, gosh, there's other two other people, and I'm going, I know that I know these people, but I can't think of their names right now.
Dr. Hooker, maybe?
No, it's not Dr. Hooker, but I want to.
That's okay.
Dr. Jim Meehan. That's who that is. And then a woman by the name of Carrie Bundy, which I'm not familiar with Carrie Bundy, but all the other speakers I am familiar with. And anyway, it's going to be amazing. So,
and also, we're encouraging our peeps to attend the ACIP. What does ACIP stand for, Michelle?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so here's the thing for your listeners. So the CDC has a division, a committee called the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. So any vaccine that gets added to the schedule for children and adults has to be approved for recommendation by the ACIP committee. And the ACIP committee meets 3 times a year in Atlanta, Georgia, at the CDC, literally on campus at the CDC. And this, the next meeting this year, it's the final one for this year, it's going to be held on October 23rd and October 24th in Atlanta. And I really recommend that anybody who's concerned about this issue try to make it to that meeting. Here's my biggest takeaway from going there. Well, I have so many takeaways. But anyway, number one, they're a lot more likely to vote abstain or vote no when there's an audience filled with people that are watching them. The other thing is, you know, we hear all the time, the science is settled, right? Oh, the science is settled. The science is settled. These crazy anti-vaxxers, blah, 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 right? I know you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Well, when you go to the ACIP meeting, you quickly learn that this is how they do it. They have the scientists, who are not part of the voting body, by the way. The scientists will go up and give the results of their research. And they'll talk about the number of people that died, the number of people that became permanently disabled, the number of people that have, not so serious side effects as death and paralysis, but they'll talk about the number of people that have more minor issues that might
in the 4 to 5 days that they actually studied the vaccine.
Right. And then what they'll do is they will leave it up to the committee to decide what to do with that information.
And let's just add that these committee members, a lot of them are vaccine makers, and they've got conflicts of interest, and they're still voting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay, go on.
As long as they admit their ties to the pharmaceutical companies, like some of them are on boards, you know, for the pharmaceutical the vaccine manufacturers and everything. So as long as they admit that they are affiliated or associated with the vaccine makers, then it's fine. They still get to vote. They don't have to recuse themselves. So it's really, really a dirty model. But anyway, so the scientists will do their presentation. They'll leave it to the voting members to decide what to do. And the voting members always decide to add, which is why now we have 72 doses for children. And it's going up to 75 in January. And I might add, in February, at the February ACIP meeting that I went to this year, they ended up recommending that everybody up to age 45, I think it's between age 9 or 10, something like that, on the young side, all the way up to age 45, for everybody, anyone who falls into that gigantic age range is now recommended, starting in January, to get the HPV vaccine.
And not only that, but
they also talked about the anthrax vaccine. Now, if you have seen that incredible documentary called Vaccine Syndrome by Scott Miller, I think it's on Vimeo, for those of you that would like to purchase it. I know he's got it, for download, you can purchase it. And that whole documentary breaks down the damage caused by the anthrax vaccine as it was being tested and still used to this day, I might add, on our military.
Yes.
Do you remember the anthrax scare?
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, under Bill Clinton, before that anthrax scare, Bill Clinton signed Executive Order 13139, which in my opinion needs to be repealed. But that executive order mandated that all military get 3 doses of the anthrax vaccine plus annual boosters. Actually, wait a minute. I think with the military, it might have been 6 doses. Don't quote me on that number. It's either 3 or 6. I forget. But the health outcomes of these military personnel was so poor. And you see it all demonstrated and all the science is talked about in the film. The corruption is talked about. And there are firsthand accounts of these military people who are now permanently disabled.
And they have absolutely no recourse.
Zero recourse. Yeah. And so it's shocking and alarming to me that not only are our military personnel still getting this vaccine because of that executive order, but even with the horrendous number of vaccine side effects from that anthrax vaccine that the ACIP committee would vote, are you sitting down?
Yeah.
To recommend it through all public health departments in the United States to all first responders. All first responders. That's your police. That's your firefighters. That's your EMTs. Can you imagine that all these people are going to have to go roll up their sleeves and take anthrax shots? And not only that, but they're supposed to get, I think it's 3 doses within 42 days or 45 days. I mean, I feel for these people.
Yeah, we're just being wiped out.
We are, and who's going to protect us if our local police and firefighters are, you know, if a chunk of them become disabled from this vaccine?
So we need to phone up, join Eagle Forum, let's create our group. We need liberty. We need to stand up to these tyrants. We will never lay down our guns. We have to boost the Second Amendment. And we, you know, they're brainwashing our kids, so we got to work on our kids too. But Michelle, we've gone over an hour, so we're going to bring it home. So the ACIP in October, the 23rd and 24th, and we have the Washington, D.C. VI event, vaccine injury event, theviEvent.com. That's V-I-E, theviEvent.com. And we are gathering in Washington, D.C., let people know that we are vaccine injured and we've got all kinds of speakers. So, Michelle, where can we find you? Tell us about your website.
Okay, so my website is vaccine, my company, the company is called Vaccine Injury Awareness League. It's a nonprofit. The website is vile.org, but it's spelled like this, and I always recommend people type it in with capitals. V like vaccine, hyphen, IAL.org. And I just need to apologize for our rudimentary website. We just don't have the funding to keep it, you know, slick and amazing. But, you know, there is a donate button out there for people who are open to supporting us. Our role in this whole thing is that we support families as they find that their child has been vaccine injured. And we help them navigate the VAERS reporting, as well as connecting them with attorneys that can help them navigate through the vaccine injury compensation program if they discover the vaccine injury within the 36-month time period or 24 months if their child died. So,
and I just want to say that Wayne Rohde wrote the book, Vaccine Court. So you can find that on Amazon. And also, where else would we put our money?
There's actually, you know, there's several organizations I'll speak to, you know, nationally as well as for the state of California, because I know a lot of your listeners are here in California. So on the national level, you know, one of my favorite organizations in terms of advocacy work is the National National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, so I messed myself up there. It's the National Vaccine Information Center, NVIC, and they have, you can sign up for alerts for your state at nvicadvocacy.org. And, you know, they're keeping track of bills, they do action alerts, all that kind of stuff. Another incredible national level organization, of course, is Children's Health Defense. .org. That's run by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And he's picking the legal strategy regarding these issues that we're facing. And of course, he had, you know, three incredibly huge wins recently against Monsanto. He and his attorney, attorneys that he works closely with, won against Monsanto for causing cancer, knowing about it and doing nothing about it. And then another great organization who's dealing with Freedom of Information Act requests and also kind of on the legal front is ICanDecide.org, ICanDecide.org. That's
and it's Bigtree, so go to Bigtree on the High Wire. High Wire with Del Bigtree. That's on YouTube, and he does a show every Thursday live.
Yeah,
at 11 a.m.
Exactly. So I definitely recommend people tune in to that show, and if they're interested in supporting the Freedom of Information Act requests and all that it takes to get those done, you could support Del at ICanDecide.org. There's also, for people that want to know independent science, right? Where is independent science? Because what we've learned, not just in this conversation, but certainly along this journey, is that the science has been corrupted. So Dr. James Lyons-Weiler has an organization called IPAKnowledge.org. Wait, is that right? IPA. Oh, shoot. I'm going to mess this up, Candace. Let me just look it up really quick. I think it's IPAKnowledge.org. Let me see here. Oh, it is. That was right. Oh, my God. I'm so proud of myself. IPAKnowledge.org. He's an independent scientist, and he works with other scientists that are never going to be bought off. And to be a high-level scientist doing this kind of work, he's, of course, working on a vaxxed versus non-vaxxed study, and everything is based on donations. He does not take money from the pharmaceutical industry at all. So that's, he's on the science front. Very, very important. And then, of course, here in California, which is, I've often heard of California as being ground zero. So we have several advocacy organizations here in California that are working with lobbyists that are really trying hard to break through the legislative side here in California. So those organizations are the Voice for Choice Advocacy.org. And they actually have three lobbyists.
And that's who I interview constantly that keeps me up to date on these bills. So
yeah, so they're doing great work. You know, these are trustworthy people. Christina Hildebrand is the president there. And then one of my favorites, not just because I'm on the board now, but because they have a stellar A-plus lobbyist that's going to be helping in 2020, and that's California Health Coalition Advocacy.org, and what a great group of hardworking, mostly Southern California women. I'm just so honored. And they, again, they have the A-plus lobbyist. This guy's been a lobbyist in Sacramento since the time that he was an assemblyman. He knows the inner workings of of everything in Sacramento. And not only that, but he's like-minded. So he's not just, you know, some paid lobbyist. He actually stands by what we believe in. And so he's planning to fight tooth and nail to make sure that we get our rights back. And again, that California Health Coalition advocacy will support paying for that lobbyist. And then, for children with special needs or individuals, adults with special needs, there's educateadvocateca.org. That organization is run by Christy Burchett, and there's also amazing women on their board, like Shannon Primer and Shannon Thompson. I mean, we're talking about really dedicated.
Shannon Primer is one of the best advocates in the state, and she helps me help other people at no cost. If I have a question, she'll help me out, and she'll point things out for me. And she's been very, very helpful to me as I try to support families in my town that are affected.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very, very grateful to Shannon Primer.
Well, and the other thing too, I mean, let's not forget Autism One, which is who you're working with. Autism One has their conference every year in May, usually Memorial Day weekend. And what's so amazing about Autism One is, you know, people come from all over the country and actually all over the world to attend Autism One, because at Autism One, not only do you find out about what's happening, you know, what the problems are, but there are often many doctors there, scientists there, vendors who have biomedical solutions to the poisoning of the children that we're seeing. So they actually have, you know, detox protocols and incredible supplements. And
more than 130 speakers. We have a chiropractic education program, the continued education program for chiropractors. And we get people from every aspect of disability, from nutrition to alternative treatments for healing. And, you know, we get Billy DeMoss from CalJam. We get Steve Pilius. We get Bobby Kennedy. We get Bob Krakow. We get Travis Middleton. Lori from Mom Street Journal. We get Michelle from Bio. We get everybody. And it's so great to be with like-minded people. So, yeah, I'm pushing for Autism One. Love Autism One. Wouldn't miss it. It's a great, it's the world's largest autism conference. And it's not just for people with autism. People that are working on autism are on the cutting health. Are on the cutting edge of alternative health for many other illnesses. So people that are sick with cancer will come to Autism One. So
yeah, that's one of the things I love about Autism One is that you don't have to have an autism diagnosis to get valuable information there. There's so much incredible information. And, you know, mostly people that go there are drawn by it because of access to these doctors that are really, really, really on the cutting edge of treatment and treating all kinds of issues. I mean, last year I met people that had Lyme, autoimmune issues, cancer, diabetes, heart problems, you know, so seizure disorders, EMF sensitivity. I mean, I could go on and on. Mold exposure, allergies, really, really, really great stuff. And these doctors and the support ideas that they have, you know, it just opens up new avenues.
And we're doing a new thing now, you know. I mean, we're even talking about 5G and EMF and how to protect yourself. But the new thing we have going is the news desk, and maybe we can get you to sit there and get some interviews, Michelle. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'd be happy to help with that. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's live and it goes out live. It's like 5 hours a day. It's called the News Desk from Autism One. It's awesome.
It is awesome. Yeah, I got to be interviewed by Jordan Sather there. That was really cool.
Oh, awesome. I need to see that. Where's that?
Yeah, it was great. It was Lori and I, Lori Gregory and I were both invited to have a conversation with him at the same time. So that was really cool.
Yeah. So we had some great people there this year. We just, that was kind of my little project that I was stepping out of our choir to find some patriots that would want to, I went to the patriot community to see who's talking about, illness, natural health. And guess who I found?
Yeah.
I found some cool guys, so hopefully we'll have more of that. But anyway, Michelle, any last words? We got to go.
I just want to say thank you, Candace, for bringing a voice to this issue, because, you know, efforts like yours help to raise awareness out in the world, and it's causing a great level of unity. I think that this issue of vaccine injury is going to be the greatest unifier that this world has ever seen, despite the fact that at this moment in time, you know, there's a lot of division and confusion and fear about what we're talking about. So,
well, at least they're not throwing things at us anymore. Well, maybe they are. You know, I was on the corner 12 years ago, and people were cussing me out, and, you know, people just couldn't imagine that there were aborted fetal tissue and vaccines. And it's true. It's all true. People don't believe us because it's so far out.
Well, it's so funny. Can I just say something really quick? You know, I'm in the insurance industry professionally, right? And so every year I have to do Medicare recertification training to make sure that I'm up to date on what's new with Medicare, right? It's an important topic. And as part of my training, I'm in the middle of it. It takes many, many hours per year. And I was reading my training yesterday, and right there on the training portal, which happens to be operated by AHIP, which is a whole other acronym, America's Health Insurance Plans, who also houses all of the vaccine health outcomes of, you know, the country's biggest HMOs.
That we don't have access to.
That we don't have access to, which is a whole other thing we could talk about.
Because they keep it off door, so we can't see it.
Exactly, but AHIP has it.
Funded by taxpayers.
Yeah, I think it's over $1 million a year to keep it sequestered from us. But on the part about covered Part D drugs in the Medicare, you know, coverage Part D, that biologics are one of the things that will be covered on Part D plans in the United States, right? And then it goes on to talk a little bit more about biologics. And it said right on my training, and I hope my fellow, you know, people who have to go through this training across the country, I hope that this jumps out at them. But it said that biologics are made from a variety of natural sources, and then it goes on further to say what natural sources are, and it says human, animal, or microorganism. And it says, unlike most drugs, they're not chemically synthesized. So they make it sound so great. They're natural sources, not chemically synthesized, right? And then they
say new meat.
Examples of biologics include vaccines, allergenic extracts, gene therapy, and cellular therapy. Isn't that so interesting?
And we
that right
go
there
on and on and on. I, you know, like when we check into the hospital, read the fine print, it says you're consenting to biologics. So just be aware of that. Michelle, I love you. Thank you so much. Let's do it again. We've got so much to talk about.
Thank you so much, Candace. It's always a pleasure when I have the chance to talk to you, and I want to thank your listeners and Autism One for all the great work that you guys do. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Love you. Bye.
Okay. Love you, girl. Bye.